Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. And I spoke a couple of weeks ago back and of the fact his remembrance, Paul, that is, of the church of Philippi, yielded two actions in his life when he started started remembering. The first thing is that it brought thanksgiving unto God for them. And then the next thing was this, it brought also a joyful intercession for them. I preached about the thanksgiving and what he meant by that 2 weeks ago. And today I'll be preaching about his joyful intercession that also his remembrance of them brought into his mind and into his life. The word intercession means this, the action of saying a prayer on the behalf of another person. This morning in this place, we intercede for others that were going through difficult times. And it's that moment that we just take a time and look outside of ourselves and pray for those that have a need in their life, or pray for those that are just needing a special touch from God, or whatever it may be, that act of interceding. You know, and we do that, prayers of intercession. So let's jump this morning to verses 9 through 11, if you're in Philippians chapter 1, and let's read there. And by the way, when I say, you know, it talks about joy here, you'll start seeing throughout the book of Philippians that joy will be threaded throughout the book. And some will call it the epistle of joy, because Paul brings joy up more than once throughout the epistle of Philippians. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you. Lord, we pray at this moment, Lord, we just give you praise for your presence thus far in the service. But Lord, today, Lord, I just pray for your help to share the message that you've put upon my heart, God, today. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive it today, God, and what your word would express to us, God, and how your word will help us and change us, Father, today. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Paul was speaking of this very thing, when he said, I was going to intercede in prayer, it's not often that we have an outline of what is mentioned, but if you read in verses 9 through 11, you'll find the outline that Paul was speaking of how he prayed for the church at Philippi. And he wanted them to develop, in the whole thing of the prayer, he wanted them to develop something that they already had, or develop that which they had already possessed. You know, sometimes we have things that we never get to use, or things that we, for lack of opportunity or whatever it may be. If you ask my wife, I collect a lot of tools that I probably have never used. I just like buying tools just in case I ever need a particular tool. Here lately, we've been redoing a room in our house, and I'm getting to use some of those tools. It feels really nice. And so it's developing something that they already have. Notice in verse 9, and that is that Paul wants that your love would abound. He speaks of them, and he tells them about that this thing that they already possess, that he wants their love to abound. And it's talking about something that each one has in our life right now. And Paul looks at the church at Philippi, and he says, you do have this love in you already. And he says, I pray that that love would abound, not just set there dormant, but it would start coming out. That it would overflow is a good word for it. Notice he does not give them an object of the love. He says, I want your love to abound in God, or I want your love to abound for people, or things like that. He doesn't express that, but he expresses it in such a way that I want the love that's in you to start flowing out and start being part of your life, and that it'll reach into other people's lives. Paul is speaking of the very virtue of love itself that's within them already, or even the Christian love that we are to have in our lives as we walk in this Christian life of us, ours, that love that we already have inside. He's wanting that to do more than just to lay there or be dormant. The word abound literally means to overflow more and more, and we are to grow in this area until church is over? No. We are to grow in this area until Jesus comes back. We are to grow in love until Jesus comes back. There's not a stopping point. And literally that means either when he comes back in the rapture of the church or when we breathe our last breath, we are to be growing in the love of God. Let the love that's in us to grow continually over and over to its overflowing in our life. Paul's prayer is that for the church of Philippi, is that the love that they already possess, the love that's already in them, to start to grow and to overflow. Did you know we all have the ability to love? And we all have the room to grow in love. Every one of us in this house this morning have the room to grow and grow in love. Now, when we look at the focus of this love, it's given in Scripture. It speaks of this, and you say, well, he didn't mention an object, but if the love is to grow properly, we need to know how our love is to grow and where it's to be aimed. Matthew 22 gives us an idea where this love should be focused. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." So part of that love that we see where that focus is, where it should be overflowing, is toward God. We are to grow in love and over and to abound in our love for God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are to continually growing, or to be growing in that love. Here's something we need to think about. When my love grows for God, I am able to love others like God loves them. You are having a hard time loving somebody? Maybe we need more love toward God in our lives. Because, see, it can help me love that person. After all, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of God literally has been shed into our lives. And we don't need it to lay there dormant, but we need it to start rising up. We need it to grow toward God and for our love for others. Because, see, the second commandment is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's another focus of this love that should be overflowing. Notice the word neighbor is neutral. And literally, it just means all mankind. It doesn't talk about the color of skin. It doesn't talk about the status of their social status. It says we are to love our neighbors. Have you figured out you can't pick your neighbors sometimes? And some are a little easier to love than others. The Bible says our focus for our love to overflow is also toward our neighbors. We should grow in love and actually abound in love toward them. Another focus of this love we can find in 1 John 3:23, and it says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us this commandment." This is literally now this scripture brings it in. He says, "Another commandment I give you is that you love one another." What's he speaking of? He's talking about the church body. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He's saying that our love should grow and abound toward one another. Don't y'all shout me down this morning. This is what we're supposed to work on. And we're supposed to let it start to grow and let it abound in our lives toward one another. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "This is how they will know that you are my disciples, because of the fact that you belong to San Jacinto Assembly of God." No, it's because you love one another. And we are to abound. That should be one of our focuses, that it should abound toward one another. So we can literally sum up when we talk about where this love is to go. It is to God. Our love should abound toward God. Our love should abound toward one another and also to all mankind. That love should grow in our lives. It should be something that's not dormant, but something that we're working on when until Jesus comes back. Now, I know this can be challenging. It can be literally challenging in our lives because some people are a little harder to love than others. And I know, I'm not saying anything you do not already know. It can be challenging. And sometimes even the longer you are a Christian, it can be even more challenging to love those in the church. I'm just being straight up front with you this morning. It can be a challenge, and sometimes it can be a challenge to love that neighbor that has been so bad to you. And sometimes it can even be a challenge to love God because your life is not going exactly like you wanted it to go. And it can be a difficult thing for us to love God like God wants. It's a difficult thing for the love to overflow sometimes. Are you like me? Have you had a problem with that every now and then? Because it is a challenge. But perhaps in this passage of Scripture, we can even find an avenue that can help us to get over that, get past that hump, that would help us to get to where I could love my neighbor, where I can love God more, and where I can love the people in the church more. Perhaps we can find that in the rest of this passage of Scripture this morning, because I think it is clarified in the passage. Listen, the means of growing our love is revealed in these verses. Can I tell you, the love that we're speaking of this morning is not blind love. We all know what blind love is. You look at that guy, that person, and say, how can they love that other person? Do they not know? This is not talking about blind love. This is not even talking about some of you that are a little older that, you know, you remember the saying that, you know, the whole concept, all you need is love. How many of you figured out you need a little more than love when it comes to paying Atmos? Or a little more than love when it comes to paying XL? And so you need a little more than love to survive in life. You need a little more than that. And it's not talking about that because it's a naive way of loving. It's not based on our feelings like many will base love on. I mean, you know, feelings will let you down. And feelings will fade. My feelings change every day. It depends on whether I'm so stiff when I wake up and it takes me 10 steps to get to where I can move, or some days I wake up feeling good. And some days I wake up grumpy, and some days I let her sleep. She's not in here this morning, I don't think. Okay. I'm just saying today, you know, feelings can change on you. This is not what we're talking about when we're talking about overflowing love. This is not blind love. This is not love as a cure-all. This is a different type of love that Paul is speaking up to the church at Philippi. It's a love that will grow, and it grows in abundance. It's not an unintelligent love. It's something that we know. This love Paul is speaking will grow in knowledge and discernment. It will grow in knowledge and discernment. In other words, I know who I love and why I will love them. I know who I love and I know why I love them. Knowledge here is speaking of knowing God more and more. What? His character, His will, His purpose, His love, His attributes, His perfection in such ways that our love abounds not out of ignorance or what somebody has told us, but we know how ourselves, we know ourselves who God is. It's talking about getting to know God. I'm not looking for a man to tell me how to know God. I'm coming after God, and I'm starting to experience God, and I'm starting to understand who God is and what God has done and God's purpose. It's a love that forms out of knowledge of who God is. Not of some say-so or from somebody, but of the fact that I have took time to start to know God. Can I tell you, you start to know God the moment that you get saved, you heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes in and He starts to reveal who God is. It's when we start to know God, understand Him, and get past the concept of what the world says God is. This is not just head knowledge. Come on, there's a lot of, you go into the industrial fields and you'll find there's people that got book knowledge versus experience knowledge. And there's a huge difference. This is talking about a knowledge of God that gets beyond what I know in my head, and it makes a journey down into my soul, my heart, who I am, and it starts to change who I am. There's a song, it's called "The More I Know You, The More I Love You." I love that song, especially when you reflect on what it means about God. The more I love Him, or the more I know Him, the more I love you. And it speaks about that. Frank Sheed, one of the best known Catholic writers and apologists of the 20th century, wrote this. Now listen to what he said. A virtuous man may be ignorant, but ignorance is not a virtue. True. It would be a strange God who could be loved better by being known less. Love of God is not the same as knowledge of God. Love of God is immeasurably more important than knowledge of God. But if a man loves God, knowing a little about Him, he should love God more from knowing more about Him. For every new thing known about God is a new reason for loving Him. Isn't that powerful? When it talks about knowing God and how it touches our lives, God has never been... He wants you to be in a deeper level than just knowing Him a little or loving Him because you know a little about Him. But when we know more about Him, we're going to love God more in our lives. Starting to understand who He is. The more we know of God, the more reason we have to love Him. So our love for God and man is to grow as we grow in knowledge of God and His Word, when we start to understand who He is. The word discernment is also listed in that passage of Scripture, and that means to have the capacity to perceive clearly and to hence to understand the real nature of something, to have discernment of this. Bishop Wordsworth said this, that delicate tact and instinct which almost naturally perceives what is right and almost unconsciously shrinks from what is wrong. Think about that, discernment. Almost a natural ability to discern what is right and shrinks back from that which is wrong. When we talk about the love of God, it not only says it's going to grow in knowledge, but we also will grow in discernment. Why? Because we start to understand more and more of who God is. And then we have the discernment that makes a difference on how we go through life. Basically, as I grow in knowledge of God, I will start to love like God loves. You know, that's a powerful journey. That's a powerful thing to think of. How many of you think really about your life? Do you think, why would God ever love me enough to go to the cross of Calvary and die for me? I know some of you were perfect, but I wasn't. And why would God do that? Why? Because His love. And the more that we go and the more that we know God, the more we will love like God. The more that love will abound and overflow in our life, the more that we know Him and we'll start loving like God. See, I will know to love the sinner but hate the sin. I will know to love our Christian brethren, because the Bible says, I will know not to fall in love with the things of the world, but the things of God. It will even affect who I allow myself to fall in love with. In other words, no missionary dating. it will affect the way I love. It will affect my choices in life. It will affect the way I look at other people and how I deal with other people because of God's love growing inside of me and abounding in that love. As we grow in knowledge and discernment, our love will grow. Can I tell you something about God? He's a continuous study. If there was a man to walk up to me and say, I know all about God, I'd say you're a liar. Because he's a continuous study. And there's another thing that we must understand about God. Some people know God more than I know God. And some people have a deeper relationship than what you or I may have. And some have a less of a relationship than you and I have. There are levels that people know God. You say, well, we're all evil. We're all equal. No, we're not. This of going after him, going after of who he is, and starting to get the knowledge of God, it literally changes people's perspective and how they look at life in general. That's where you get those famous men and women of God that God uses in powerful ways. Why? Because they went after God and they started to seek the knowledge of God and they find themselves loving like God and hating the things that God hates. They are changed in the way they live because they overflow in that love and they went after God. But see, this brings me to my next point, and I've only got two this morning. Abounding in this type of love will change the way they live. Or we could say the way we live. Paul knew that this would make a difference in the way they live their lives. When they abound in this type of love, they will know what is excellent, is what the passage says, and they will know what is this. This is not just talking about what is right and wrong, but they will know what is best in the situation. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, I'll call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. I mean, you know, that's pretty obvious what God wants you to do. Choose life. See, many times God has already given the answer and it's very clear. But times there are the gray areas that are more difficult. As a pastor, I would wish that God would just very clearly say in his word about this situation, that situation, or this situation. And you just go to the index and you look up, okay, what's it say about this? Turn it over there. This is very clear. But have you figured out there's some gray areas that people don't know exactly what to do? Can I say this morning, that when we are going after the knowledge of God, and that our love is growing and bounding toward him, then what we do is going to be the excellent thing. It's going to be God's will, God's purpose, God's heart when we start to go after God in such a way. See, I found in my life to listen to God and let what he loves guide my decision many times. Have I been perfect in that? No. I don't know, maybe perhaps one of you or two or three have been perfect in it, but I haven't. And many times I have to ask God to forgive me for my imperfection. But many times it's not necessarily about what the right and the wrong, but what is the best. I'm not saying do the wrong, but what is the best answer in that? You know, I can be right in an argument, but for me to express myself is not necessarily the best. Right? What's best is for me to have a heart, the heart of God, and maybe show some mercy. These things that we struggle with. See, it's not what man would approve, but what God approves. When my love is growing, and I am growing and abounding in the love of God through knowledge and also through discernment, then my love is growing, and it's not what man says, but what God approves that will make my decision. Can I say this morning that most of the time, if a person is in my office wanting my approval, they've already heard from God. Let me say it again. Most of the time, if someone's in my office wanting my approval, they have already heard from God and they're wanting me to say something different than what God has said. And most of the time, that's on these things that are gray areas. The Bible doesn't really speak of it, but it kind of speaks of it, but it really doesn't lay it down to detail. Matter of fact, it's in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. I've had those conversations. But let me tell you, when you're going after God and your love is based on the knowledge and the discernment of God, you're going to choose what God's speaking into your heart and into your soul about the situation. Come on, and that's why people wrestle many times, is because they've heard what God is speaking. It's a bad place to be. See, loving God will always make the best choice if we're abounding in our love toward God. Also, they will be sincere in their walk. The word sincere here means to sift about through a sieve in order to make pure. Therefore, the word means pure, uncontaminated, not polluted, untainted. It's speaking of something that's pure and genuine. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, we have this story. It says about Joseph. He's a young man. He's a teenager. He finds himself as a slave. He's in a foreign land. He was raised to serve God and all that, but here he is in Potiphar's palace. Potiphar's wife has got her eyes on him. And he says this. She finds him, he's alone in the house. And he says, there is no greater in this house. And she's wanting him literally to lie with her. And he says, there's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Talking about her husband. And because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He looked at the whole situation as a sin against God. Why? Because his heart was on fire for God. He loved God. He abounded in love for God. Therefore, it ordered his steps to where he would not step out of the boundary and sin against God. When our love for God is abounding, what I'm saying this morning, our walk for God will be pure. Our walk for God would be what we used to call, listen, I don't want to shake you up with this word, what we used to call holiness. Walking a life separated unto God, a word that speaks, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And when we're truly abounding in love toward God, it's going to affect my decisions when it comes to things that are against God's will in my life. Joseph says, I'm not going to sin against God doing this thing. He could have been bitter. There's a whole preaching sermon to that. We won't do it this morning. But I'm just saying today, what did it? His love for God. He loved God more than he did the things of life. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, they're not heavy to do because why? Because I love God. How many of you guys do things in your marriage that you really don't want to do, but you just do it because you love your wife? Oliver, Pat, rest of you guys got to work on it. Huh? They're scared to raise their hand. The deal is we do it because we love that person. We love them. And when we love God, his commandments are really not that hard to keep because we love him. We love him. This is going to have an effect. Let that love abound in our life. Paul's wanting them to let it abound in their life because it's going to have a profound effect on how they serve Jesus. And if it has a profound for them, just think effect what it's going to do in the community when they're all loving God and God abounds in their life. What it's going to do for that person that does not know God, they will see Jesus there. It says blameless and is literally the results of being sincere in our walk with God. When we're sincere about our love for God and growing in our love for God, then we're going to do what is right. How many of you have ever been challenged in a relationship to do what is right? According to God's will, to seek the best. You know, it has a difference or makes a difference. Talking about we won't stumble. We won't stumble. That means I'm not going to do something that God is not pleased with. I'm going to walk like God wants me to walk. Have you figured out yet the devil tries to trip you up daily? He literally does. And whether we take the bait or not is up to us. I found it in my own life. You know, we're not going to stumble because we're living to please God, not this world and not ourselves. The third thing that he mentions here is they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. It means both to be right and do right. I like being right. Never mind. I was going to go somewhere I shouldn't go. But anyhow. This being filled with righteousness literally means to be right and do right. Right literally means being right with Jesus Christ through the blood of the cross of Calvary, to have it right and done right, like God's word speaks of. And not only that, but it's also to do right after that. Being filled with righteousness. It's not just saying I got a relationship with Christ, but there's that other step, doing right after that relationship. Being filled with righteousness. Oh, you can even take it to Galatians chapter 5 and be the fruits of the Spirit. Talking about being filled with righteous acts. It talks of this. You know, here's the thing. It means this, and there are those who stress being righteous and neglect doing righteousness. I'm right with God. Well, the Bible says all I have to do is confess Him with my mouth, believe that He's raised from the grave, and also proclaim Him to be Lord. I'm right. Romans 9. But that is not what's been spoken of here. When it talks about being filled with righteousness, it's talking about being in right relationship with God. Many people call themselves Christians, but they're not really where they need to be with God. It brings about a false security in our life. Thinks, all right, I've said the prayer, I'm all right, I can do whatever I want to do. There's no acts of righteousness no more. I'm not preaching getting to heaven in works. I'm saying when you get saved, when we get saved, something happens and something changes in our life and we start acting different. There's got to be some evidence. Talk to James when you get to heaven. He'll tell you the very same thing. We come up with these things called grace has got me covered no matter what I do. I know I'm stepping on some areas that this world really likes. But listen, there are those who stress doing righteousness and neglect being righteous. There are those that stress it's all about works. I'm going to work my way into heaven. It's all about what I do. It's all about if I tithe. It's all about if I'm going to be kind to those that are being compassionate, to have compassion. It's all about works. But can I tell you something? There are many people that are not going to heaven because they've made their relationship about nothing but works. The Bible says we are not saved by our works. And you can't work yourself into heaven. You can't make it into heaven by your works. The only way that you can get there is through the blood of Jesus. And what I'm saying this morning, when it talks about Paul's prayer for the church of Philippi, he's saying, I want you to be in right relationship. And when you're in right relationships, you need works of righteousness in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I can be saved, or I can think I'm saved and be a heathen out there. I'll just share with you, when I was wayward, and I would have these guys my age come up to me and try to tell me about Jesus, and I'm thinking, you need to shut your mouth. because I see how you live your life. And if that's how you live your life, why should I change mine? Because it should have a change in our lives. It should have a change in the way we live. After all, the Bible says we are new creatures in Him. See, those that genuinely grow in love through knowledge and discernment will be filled with righteousness that comes from a relationship with Christ. It will happen when we grow in love toward Him. Righteous acts will reflect the glory of God in their lives. And they will be thriving and very much alive for Christ. Thriving and very much alive for Christ when these things take place in our lives. Pastor Oliver, if you'll come. Paul gave him an example in verse 8. Shows a little bit about Paul's love. It says in Philippians 1, verse 8, says, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with the affections of Jesus Christ." You know, that's just a way of saying I love you deeply because of Jesus Christ. I love you because my love is abounding for God. My love abounds for Jesus so much, and now you are experiencing that love flowing out of me. We love with the love of Jesus as we abound in that love. I remember a long time ago, I was talking to a person, and I was telling them that I just started going to church, and I mentioned a person, and when I was talking to said, I don't know how you can stand that person. And I knew that person didn't like that other person. And I very clearly said, well, you know what? You're trying to make your decision about that person just on your own. But you know, how many of you felt like you could love everybody when you just first got saved? Just me? And I said, you know what? And I'm just a beginner at this thing. I just started. But man, I was on fire for God. I was my pastor's pet. I was a pest to my pastor. I was hungry. And I knew he'd put that coffee pot on at 6:30 or 7 on Sunday morning. Guess who was messing with him? I was down there. And he only had this little coffee pot. It's not much coffee. And now as a pastor, I think, boy, he must have really tried to lock the door twice because I knew he had stuff to be doing. But I'm just saying, I looked at this person and I said, you know what the problem is? You're trying to look at them through the eyes of the world, but I'm looking at through them with the love of Jesus. The thing that happened had affected me just as much as it affected that person. But God had changed my heart and I was abounding in the love that God had put in my life. And this is what Paul's trying to express to this church at Philippi. He says, you want to live victorious. You want to live for God. You want to make a difference in the world that you're living in. Let the love of God abound in your life. And let it abound so much that it flows over toward God, upward, vertically, and horizontally, and toward your neighbor and your brother and sister in the church of God. It will make a huge difference in the way you live victorious. Huge difference. What are the means of it? Going after God. Getting more knowledge about God. I talked to a person the other day on the phone. They called me and they started talking to me and said, I've had the same cell number for years. Not hard to get my number. Matter of fact, Amanda put it on the pantry. I'm getting calls from everywhere. That's all right. I get it, man. I don't mind talking to people. But this person started talking about things that were 40 years ago. Oh, you remember this. And I'm going, no, I don't. I'm glad I don't. But I couldn't remember any of that stuff that he was speaking of. Because at that time, we were close. I mean, literally, we were close. But somewhere in that means, I had forgotten even the knowledge I knew of that situation. Somewhere there was 40 years that had passed. And let me tell you something today. I have found this, and don't get upset with me. I found sometimes, even the longer I've been in the church, the harder it is for me to love some folks. And I think, why is that? Did I let 40 years bring me to a coldness where I no longer, I forgot what I knew from God that would express to this woman that I was speaking of that, hey, you're not looking at them through the love of God. Where have I forgotten that? Can I tell you, sometimes we forget spiritual things that have happened in our life, and it affects the way we are living today. What's the answer? Well, the answer hasn't changed. I'll tell you what, I need to go back to that altar that day. That altar that day that I remember so clearly that I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. My life changed. And God filled me with so much of Him that day that it impacted my life. My friends didn't. They said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "I got Jesus." But my friend, water passes under the bridge. And somewhere you get offended, somewhere you get hurt, and somewhere you quit letting the abounding love. Why? Why is it not abounding? Because you no longer remember, or you haven't come back into seeking and knowing God better. Paul's trying to prevent this at the church of Philippi. You know why? I can tell you that because he says, keep doing this until Jesus comes back. Has Jesus came back yet? I got news, our Savior didn't just get elected. Our Savior has never changed from being Jesus Christ. He's not back yet, Brother Johnny. How am I supposed to go after God? How do I want my love to abound? I need to increase in my knowledge of who God is. Or maybe I just remember what I need to remember what I've once known. Because see, it's there. I got a question. Are we loving others as God would? Or are we loving them like it was when we first got saved? Are we still doing that, my friend? 1 Peter 4, verse 7 says this. Listen how he starts this verse. He says, "But the end of all things is at hand." I believe that to be true. I believe the end is near. Can I tell you when the end's coming? No. But I say it's clear, or near. And listen to what he says. "Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover just a few sins." Because it'll cover a multitude of sins. When I'm loving, aren't you glad God's love has not faded for you? My word. I'm so glad I don't have to say, "God, do you still love me after that?" Because He does. When we are going after the love of God in knowledge and understanding, discernment, then we start to love others like God loves us. How can I overlook faults? Have you figured out we all have flaws? We all have moments that we forget, moments that we're short on, that we may do this or we may not. How can I overlook that? It's through the love of God. When do I need to do that? Why do I need to do that? I'm going to tell you why I need to do that. It's because He's coming soon. And I don't know if that means for the rapture for me. I know I've got health issues. I know I've got problems and different things. I may leave out way before the rapture. If so, I'll see y'all on the left-hand side way up there praising God, all right? But I'm just saying that we are to do it until. Why? Because the Scripture tells us to. Love covers a multitude of sins. You ever head bowed just for a moment? I want to start out this morning with this. Do you have the right relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, I talked about the thing that Paul spoke of in the prayer for them, if we're loving God, then we'll be right with him and righteousness will flow through that. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I just need to get right with God. I want to receive him as my Savior. I want to ask him into my heart. Would you raise your hand this morning? And I want to pray with you if that's you this morning. Who would just say, and every head bowed, because I don't want anybody looking up, who would say this morning, Pastor, I'm having a hard time loving somebody. But I know of what you preach, amen. What you preach this morning is what the Word of God says. And I know the means that I need to do, the avenue that I need to take. Anybody else would raise their hand and say, I'm having a hard time this morning. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's speaking.
Yes.
I'll raise my hand. I'm just going to tell you this morning, the only way to overcome that is going after God. And getting his love, our love to him, to abound in our life, that it'll flow into our other relationships. Lord, today I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you for that person that would raise their hand this morning. And Lord, you know the situation, you know what it's all about. But God, we know that if we just come after you, Lord, in that prayer time, and Lord, in those moments of our life, God, just seeking after you, Lord God, Lord, that we can experience our love growing towards you, and through that, Lord, that love will flow out to others. And I pray for that this morning in each one of our lives, God, that our love would abound for you, overflowing, God, and it would abound for others, and God, even abound for those that are in the church, God, today. Help us to be people of love. Lord, if our love has grown dormant, Lord, wake it up, Father. Wake it up towards you, God. Let us once again weep in your presence and seek after you, God, and to know you deeper than we've ever known before in our life. Lord, that we would become the men and women that you would have us to be. I pray that you touch us, Lord, this morning in this house.